at verse 1. All right. Then Jonah prayed. That's the title of the message today. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou hearest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and all thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought me up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry ground. May God bless to your heart the hearing and the reading of God's word from the book of Jonah this morning. Most of you know the story of Jonah. You don't really need me to tell you the story. But I happen to like Bible stories. I like to read about Daniel in the lion's den and the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace and all of those things in the Bible, Noah in the flood. You say, you really believe those things? Yep, I really believe those things. I really trust that those things are true and willing to state my salvation and my eternal security on the fact that those stories are true. And somebody is going to say, and I know the modernists, the theology people all, I know what they say. They say, and we had a preacher in Pembroke some few years ago that got up one Sunday morning and preached from the book of Jonah. I don't know why he bothered to preach from it, because what he said was, now this didn't really happen. This is just a story that was told to illustrate a point. No, my friend, this is not a story told to illustrate a point. Jesus Christ believed that Jonah was a historical figure. Jesus Christ said that as the Son of Man, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus believed in the story of Jonah and the whale and proclaimed it to be the truth. Throughout the scripture, Jonah is taken for granted to be a historical figure, and so he is. So when I look at Jonah this morning, I have to believe exactly what it says. Now, Jonah was on talking terms with the Lord. You can say all you want to about him and put him down, and he certainly did some wrong things. But I have to tell you, the man was on talking terms with the Lord. It's kind of like Peter, you know, we'll say, Peter, well, he didn't keep his eyes on Jesus, so he was going down. That's the truth. But think about it. How many more people besides Jesus have walked on the water? Well, think about Jonah. Jonah is on a conversational basis with the Lord himself. He and the Lord are having conversations. God is speaking to him. He is hearing the voice of God, and he is answering that voice. I'm sorry to say by disobedience, but he's answering it. And you know, I can't imagine it, but people speak back to the Lord. That's a strange thing to me. Speak back to the Lord. But they do. And they smart back to the Lord. And I look at all that went on in the scripture, and you don't want. Fact is, I heard somebody say a while back, somebody was in a wreck and somebody was observant to it. And what they heard the person in the wreck say was cursing and bad words. And you say, well, why would anybody do that when they just had a wreck, when the things are bad? I'll tell you why. Because that's what's inside of them. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's the life people are living. And when the disaster strikes and something comes down on them, they don't have any knowledge of what to do with it. They don't have any knowledge of where to go. They don't have any experience in their life to do it. So Jonah is obviously in Jerusalem or somewhere thereabouts. And the Lord spoke to him. And the Lord gave him a message. And you say, that's what I've been waiting for, the Lord to give me a message. Are you willing to accept the message the Lord gives? Jonah, far as I know, went to church. Well, he certainly went to temple and synagogue. He went to temple. He prayed, and he was on talking terms with the Lord. And the Lord spoke to him and gave him a job to do. Now, you just think, being a prophet of God, he's going to trot right off and do what God wants him to do. But he doesn't. And you know the story. The Lord spoke to Jonah and told him to go to Nineveh, that great city. And how many thousands of people over there weren't even old enough yet to know the right hand from their left? And how many people were in that city? And he said, go tell them that the judgment of God is going to fall, and I'm going to take them out because their sins and their wickedness have reached up to heaven, and it stinks to me, and I'm going to wipe Nineveh off the face of the earth. Now, that ought to be a clue, Americans, that God's not going to fool around with people forever and ever and ever and ever. God's not going to fool around with us doing all the hateful and ungodly things we do and let it go. And so Jonah hears the message from God, but he don't want to obey that message. Now, actually, you don't hear the whole thing. Obviously, that is a conditional thing. That is obviously, if you don't repent, I will do this. Because that's how it turned out. That's how it came out in the end. When Jonah went there and went to Nineveh, he finally did go there and preach. And when he went there, must have been a powerful preacher. Because Noah started on one side of the city and preached his way across the city. And when he got to the other side, he sat down to watch it be destroyed. And he never had any idea of what was going to happen. But what happened was that they repented and God heard their prayers and changed things in their lives. So Jonah has heard the voice of God, and God has told him to go to Nineveh and to preach to them. And as he preaches to them, to warn them that the judgment of God is going to fall. He don't want to go. And you say, why don't he want to go? Because he knows there is a chance that they'll repent. He don't want them to repent. He wants God to destroy Nineveh. And we say, wow, they're enemies of Israel. They're a heathen nation. They have done ungodly things. There's no doubt about it. And God's plenty upset about it himself. And Jonah don't want to go. So he thinks that if Nineveh's over here, that if he goes the other way and Lee goes someplace else, that while he's gone, God will destroy Nineveh. Jonah gets what he wants. God gets what he wants. And yet that isn't what God wants. God's purpose and God's desire, my friend, is not to send judgment on you. God does not want to send judgment on America. He'd rather send revival. God does not want to send judgment on this world. He'd rather send a spiritual upheaval that would get people saved. He doesn't want to destroy people. It isn't. I hear some preachers preaching, and to hear it said, you'd think that God just got his greatest delight in destroying people. He don't. God don't want anybody to be lost. The scripture says in the New Testament, it's not his will that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. He doesn't want people to be lost, but people won't listen to God. So Jonah, instead of going east, which is where he should have gone, to Nineveh, he goes west to Tarshish. You have to understand, hundreds of miles to the east up in the Armenia, up in the mountains above the Euphrates River, is Nineveh, this city. Tarshish is at the opposite end of the Mediterranean Sea. That's Spain, folks. It's as far away as he knows how to get from God, he's trying to get. So he jumps down to the, and by the way, every time he goes, it says down. He went down from Jerusalem. He went down to Joppa. He went down to the sea. He went down to the ship. He went down in the ship and ultimately went down in the ocean and down in the fish. Every direction he went was down. Let me tell you something. When you're running from God, there's only one direction to go, and that's down. There's no climbing the mountain. You're going down if you're running from God. And Jonah was running from God. Now, he was on talking terms with God, but his theology was askew. He thought it was possible, if he got out of Israel, to get out of the presence of God, to get out of where God was effective. The psalmist says, though I make my bed in hell, thou would be there. Though I would get up in the morning with the sun, and I would ride with the sun the whole day long until the next morning. That'd be 25,000 miles, wouldn't it, around the circumference of the earth. And he says, even though I did that, I could not run from your presence. If I went to heaven, I couldn't get away from you. If I went to hell, I couldn't get away from you. If I went anywhere in the earth, I couldn't get away from God. He's always there. He's the one that's there. So Jonah has run away from God. Hopefully, he thinks as far as he can. And he gets him a ticket, and he gets on the ship, and he goes to sleep. What a terrible condition his soul must have been in by that time. And he goes to sleep, and while he's sleeping, God whips up a little storm. And a great storm comes across the Mediterranean Sea, and the ship's being thrown up in the air, and the mast is being torn off. They're throwing out everything they've got that's weighting the ship down. Every man on the ship's praying to his God wherever he's at. And the captain has asked him to even pray to Elohim, to Jehovah, the God of, and they say, and they pray to the God of heaven, the real God, and find out who's to blame for this. Who caused this storm to come on us? Who caused all this to happen? And they cast lots. They threw everybody's name in the hat and pulled out the names, and the name that came out was Jonah. They had to go find him. He was asleep down in the ship. And they get Jonah out, and they bring him up on board, up on the deck, and they talk about it. The wind's blowing, the ship's being crashed around. And no, Jonah's just as calm as a cucumber, like nothing ever's going to be wrong or happen. Finally, they talk to him, and they beg him, and he tells them, well, I'm a prophet of God. Well, that's some testimony, isn't it? And that's some testimony. Here's a man running from God. He says, I'm a prophet of God. God sent me on a mission. I didn't do it. I'm out here in the ocean. If you'll throw me overboard, putting the blame on somebody else, let them feel the guilt, not him. And he said, if you'll throw me overboard, it'll stop. And so they didn't want to do it, and they asked his forgiveness and God's forgiveness. And finally, they threw Jonah overboard. And as Jonah goes down in the sea, here comes this, well, the New Testament says it's a whale, and the Old Testament says it's a great fish, and the scientist says that a whale is not a fish, but a mammal, so we'll let them argue that out themselves. But I believe it happened just like it said. And somebody said, well, you know, this whale, this fish cannot possibly swallow something as big as Jonah. If Jesus said that Jonah swallowed the whale, I'd believe that too. Amen? Amen? Because if Jesus said it. Now, when we look at this and we see Jonah going down, and here he's down in the water, here comes this giant, whatever it is that has been created by God, the God that created the heavens and the earth and the sea and the land and everything in it, my friend, can create a fish, or a whale for that matter, that is capable of eating a man and getting the job done. And wonder how scary that is. Wonder how scary that is to be in the ocean. And here's this monster eating you up in the middle of a storm. And as you go in, I don't know what it smells like in a whale's belly. I've never been to an autopsy of a whale, but I have of a human and some other animals in the world. He must have been in a terrible fix. My goodness, what in the world happens to you? What do you think? What's going on? This fish is just swallowing him up and he's going down, down. Talk about going down, and then the fish goes down and lays on the bottom of the ocean. And he says, the bars of the earth closed up over me. And some people believe Jonah actually died, and it was his spirit that prayed. I don't know if he died or if it was when he was dying. But if he didn't die, he certainly was in a state of dying. And he was losing his breath. He was losing all he had. And in the midst of it, he's reaping what he sowed. He's reaping the disobedience that he sowed. And as he lays down in there, you know what it says? The title of the message. Then Jonah prayed. Wow. This has been going on for months. It took him a long time to walk down to Joppa and get on the ship and all the things that went on. We don't know how long God waited before he did that anyway. And so some time had passed. So we look at poor Jonah, and he's down there, and finally he gets around to praying. I notice that so much with us. Well, I've tried everything else. I've been to the psychologist, I've been to the economist, and I've been to the neurologist, I've been to this one, and I've been to that one, and I thought I finally would just pray. Well, I'm sure the Lord is just overwhelmed with your faith. I'm sure the Lord is just overwhelmed with me when I come and say, well, God, I've tried everything else and you're all I've got. And God, I want you to deliver me out of this. God must just feel great about that. I mean, how is it when your kids come to you and they say, well, Daddy, I've tried everything else. Now I'm going to come home and be a good boy or whatever. You're not overly impressed with that, are you? I don't really turn you on. Well, think about it for the Lord, and listening to that from heaven, and all of that happens. So Jonah is as he goes down, and he's going down for the third time, folks, I guarantee you. He's going down inside of a fish's belly, whatever's in there. It's dark, it's hot, it's stinking, and it's death. And he's in the midst of it, but he prayed. That's the one thing he remembered to do, was to pray. Isn't God good? God would have been within his rights to have told Jonah, tough luck, wouldn't he? God would have been within his rights to have told Jonah, Jonah, don't worry about it. You wanted to do your thing, now you're doing it. Just have a good old time. God would have been his rights to do that. But God's not like that. God is a merciful and a good God. He is a wonderful God. And with all of that gone over the water gone over the dam, Jonah remembers the house of God. Now, I don't know how he knows which direction in the belly of a fish, in the bottom of the ocean. I don't know how he knows which direction Jerusalem is and the temple of God. But God knows that he's aiming in the right direction. Isn't it wonderful that God knows when you're aiming in the right direction? Yeah, God told, remember David wanted to build a house for the Lord? And he wasn't qualified to build. He killed so many people and done so much that he couldn't. But God knew he was aiming in the right direction. Told him, said, well, gather up the materials for it. Your son can build it and you'll get the reward. Why is he going to get the reward? Because it's in his heart. Why is God going to answer Jonah's prayers? Because it's in his heart. Jonah is in his heart, and as he goes down and the ocean comes over him and the weight of time comes down on him and his life is expiring, he remembers the house of God. He recognizes that God's house has been neglected, and he went down to the depths of the sea. And he realized what a terrible situation he was in and ultimately surrendered to God in that same moment. Somebody said, I don't believe in deathbed repentance. Honey, I wouldn't want to risk my life waiting on it. I wouldn't want to say, well, yeah, I believe in God. And I tell you how it is, when the death angel comes. Roger McCormick used to preach up at Princeton. He'd say, when the death damp is on your brow and the death rattles in your throat, will you be ready to meet the Lord? And I said, you know, you just have to wonder, you know, about that kind of language. But Jonah surrenders to God. In that moment, he realized, you know what he did? He got a vision of hell. Just in a minute, he got a vision of hell. And he says he was in hell. And he said he was in death. And he says that it forever the bars of the earth were closing over him and taking him in. General Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, said he wished that every soldier he sent out to preach the gospel on the street, that God would take them and hang them over the fire of hell for 10 minutes and let them feel it. Said it'd make better preachers out of them. Well, I have to tell you, folks, that was the message that Jonathan Edwards had that started the great awakening here in the United States in colonial times, was when they knew that Roger was preaching what? What was he preaching? Jonathan Edwards was preaching what? He's preaching sinners in the hand of an angry God. And somebody said he preached hell so hot you could feel the heat. Well, more or less that's true. And this is what happened when Jonah got a vision of what hell was like. And he saw and felt what it was like to be in there. He cried unto God. He turned his face toward the temple of God. He turned himself toward God and he surrendered all that he had. That song hadn't been written yet. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. But my friend, that's exactly what he did. He surrendered all that he had to God. He said, I'll pay my vows. I'll do what I should do. And somebody may have said to him when he got out of the fish's belly, you say, God sure gave him something good. Yeah, he turned him into whale vomit. And he vomited him out on the banks of the sea. And he got up. He said, did God speak to him? Yes, spoke to him right away again. And you see, what did he say? Message hadn't changed. Message hadn't changed. What was the message? Go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach your way across that city and tell them that I'm going to destroy this city because I'm so displeased with the way they're living. And my friend, Jonah does not question what God says that time. He don't like it. He don't want it to be, but he knows the penalty for disobeying God. He has smelled the fire of hell. He has been in the heat of hell. He knows what hell fire is like, and he doesn't want anything to do with it. He don't want to be there. So he's there. And you say, well, how's he going to be saved? Well, let me tell you something. Guess what Jonah can't do? Save himself. He's going down with that fish. He's going down into the bottoms of the earth. The bars of the earth are closing over him. The pains of death are taking hold of him. And he's going down, and he cannot save himself. He doesn't have a life raft. He doesn't have a life preserver. He doesn't have anything to catch on to except the mercies of God. And as he goes down, what does he say? He says, salvation is of the Lord. My brothers and sisters, it always has been and it always will be. You cannot save yourself. You're not smart enough. You're not strong enough. You're not rich enough. You're not anything enough to save yourself. You cannot save yourself, but with faith in God, God can save anybody. And God will save anybody. Any sinner, lost and undone without God. I can hear Grandma Marshall up testifying, talking in tongues, and saying, my soul sighs and sighs for the lost souls of Israel, going out in eternity unsaved and lost without God. My friend, I don't know if you realize this morning what a horrible thing it is to be lost, what a horrible thing it is to go into eternity without God. But my friend, I can tell you this morning, Jonah knew that it was not worth disobeying God. He may not like it. He may not enjoy it. He may not want to do it. But he's not going to turn back this time. He went to Nineveh and preached all the way across that city. I've never had a citywide revival like that. I've never seen Billy Graham have a citywide revival like that, where everything from the dogs and the cats up to the king went on a fast and got right with God and repented of their sins and turned to God. You see, Jonah believed salvation is of the Lord. You see, my friend, Jesus told stories. Remember, he told in Luke a story about a sheep that was lost. I have to tell you something. It wasn't the sheep that found the shepherd. It was the shepherd that found the sheep. It wasn't the coin that found the woman in the same story, but it was the searcher who found it. It was the shepherd who went searching. It was the woman who went searching. And in the end, it was the father who stood at the door and waited for the son and reached out to him to save him. Salvation, my friend, is of the Lord. And you can say what you want to, but I can tell you that this little 14-year-old boy sitting on the end of a bench at the door down there in that old church, my friend, it wasn't that I saved me, but it was God came to me and saved my soul and delivered me from the pains of hell. And I praise God every day for salvation. Would you say that with me? Salvation is of the Lord. It's not of me, nor of mine. It's not of my intellect. It's not of anything that I can do. But salvation is of the Lord. God, you think back. You think back to when you got saved. God came and dealt with your soul. God came and dealt with your heart. God came and knocked on your door. You weren't knocking on heaven's door. He was knocking on your door and inviting himself to come into your life and to be there. My friend, don't wait like Jonah. Don't wait till you're hung over the fire of hell and the pains of death are around you, and then call on the Lord. Oh, it's better to than not to. But my friend, you may not have the opportunity. You may not have the ability to call on the Lord. It may be when the time comes, my friend, that you're gone before you can think in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You may not know when your time comes. Now, some of us are fortunate enough that we can lay and we can repent and we can meditate and we can tell our loved ones goodbye and all that kind of thing. And that's well and good. But you don't know you're going to have that time. You don't know that that time's going to be there. My friend, salvation is of the Lord. And God has elected to touch you of all the people in the world. I mean, I've thought about that so many times. That second Sunday of May 1961, of all the people in the world, millions and millions of people living in the world, out of all those people, God reached down to Southwest Virginia on the north bank of the New River and touched this old boy's heart and saved me from hell. Oh, praise God for his mercy. Salvation is of the Lord. I want you to get it down your heart. Say it one more time. Salvation is of the Lord. Father, I thank you that even when we've tried and failed, even when we've made a mess of things, even when we haven't done what we should do, Father, when we remember you and we turn our faces toward you and we call on you and surrender all we have to you, Heavenly Father, I thank you that at that time, you listen to us. And Father, you do not hold our iniquities and our sins against us. But Father, you hear us when we cry unto thee. Lord, let us be at least as smart as Jonah was a little bit, smart enough to pray. Touch us with your spirit. Touch us with your grace. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.